G'day. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a long way from Australia, and often the question I get, one of the first questions is like, why? Australia is a mining powerhouse. Why would you come to the UK? And I think, well, isn't it obvious? The opportunities here and the ability to contribute to the change that's going on in the world. I can do a lot more here than I can in Australia. We have to solve problems like circularity. We have to deal with some of the technologies and all the other issues. So for me, it's a great opportunity, and I was very happy to be able to come across and join the British Geological Survey. This is going to be really quick, so I'll add a lot more detail to some of the things that sort of Paul's already laid out there. The details in our reports, so they're available on our website. You can see the link there, but so please go and read them, and we're happy to take some questions either tonight or follow up and go from there. But I want to really talk through the criticality assessment and some of the issues and the sort of the things we do there, and then also some of the work we're just starting to release now in terms of the foresight work that's been led by my colleagues, Dr. Evi Petrovaratsi and now Dr. Stefan Horn and others. Just first of all, why do we exist? Well, we exist to help. Our primary purpose is to help the UK government achieve what we need to do around critical minerals. And I think there's a recognition that critical minerals, it's not just about clean energy, it's about all sorts of other sectors. And I'll come back to that because before I started, of course, a few years ago, when the last criticality assessment was done in 2021, there was only 26 elements actually assessed, and they were largely ones associated with decarbonisation. So we've broadened that out. But our job is to look at everything related to critical minerals because largely we're talking about risk management. We're worried about the risk of not having niobium or not having lithium. All the other different metals, minerals, helium is a material. So we always have this existential torment about what sort of language we use. But we're essentially talking about risk management, all right? Making sure that we understand the risks and we can actually make decisions accordingly. So Paul sort of touched on this, but not only are we needing a more complex range of metals and minerals and materials, we need more of them. Right, our technology is evolving. We've got lots of different things that we do. Often the first thing we pick up today these days is a phone or maybe a tablet. And that's how we engage with the world. All right, so I think we need to understand what's happening with that technology. If we look at a mobile phone, one of the bizarre facts that I always love is if you take your smartphone in your hand, 70% of the value in this phone is actually gold. All right, and that's what pays for things like recycling or the circular economy. So, because when we're thinking about the circular economy or the different suppliers and so on, there's lots of different examples there. So if we could look at cobalt in the early or late 1970s, early 1980s, basically continuing rounds of civil unrest started occurring in the Congo, basically flattened cobalt supply. So the aerospace industry, that's too expensive. So they substituted and they got out of cobalt and used other alloys instead. And of course, now Congo got back to sort of stability and the cobalt supply was normalized. Many years ago, of course, just over a decade ago, there was the Matakane riots in South Africa. And there was always concern in the criticality space. What happens if we don't have platinum group elements? If we don't, then of course, our cars that rely on them in the catalytic converters and the exhaust pipes, we'd be setting ourselves back decades in terms of air quality in cities. And so we can see that despite the Matakane riots, it really didn't affect the platinum price, which is interesting. It's one of the things that I think we often overestimate is sometimes we expect, sort of really bad impacts on price or things like that, but not always, often difficult. Of course, then you get rare earths and China in 2010, and that did send the rare earths price absolutely skyrocketing. So the way we try and integrate all of these different types of examples and is to think about supply risk. These are outlined in more detail in both in our methodology report, which was done before I joined. And then as we're working through the criticality assessment, we've evolved some things to sort of make some tweaks to the way the methodology works. But first and foremost, we look at production. Where are the mines? Because this is a raw material assessment. What's the primary raw materials that the UK needs for all of its technologies? So that production concentration, I get this right, up the top here, right? That's looking at the source countries, as Paul showed, and we'll come back to that. Then we've looked at global trade. Where are the biggest net importers? All right, that's important because people who control the import flows can also exert influence over supply chain. So that's important. We also look at companionality. All right, if you take a smartphone, laptop or iPad, whatever, the screen only works because of an element called indium, which most people have probably never heard of. But that's what gives us the color, indium tin oxide. So you can't mine indium. You only have to have extract that. You have to process, say, zinc, maybe some tin or some lead. But at the moment, mostly we get indium from zinc refining. So we call that a companion metal. It's always present with something else. And so for many elements across the periodic table, we can only get them by mining copper first, or mining gold first, or mining zinc first. And then in the process of running a smelter or refinery, we can then extract things like tellurium or a whole range of other elements there. So we need to account for that, because that helps us understand the supply risk. And then, of course, recycling rate, so end-of-life collection rate. And that's something we've got a lot of work to do on. We've got a lot we can do to improve that circularity. We've got down the bottom here a range of ways we look at the economic vulnerability. And really what we're talking about is what's the size of the value when we use a particular material, mineral, how much value is that associated with in the UK? So what sectors? And that's one of the really important points. We're not just talking about the clean energy sector, because this is a national assessment. What we're doing is looking at the UK, what comes in, what gets used, and what goes out. We don't apportion between each of the individual sectors, except where we say, well, actually, we're looking at the uses and we look at the gross value added. So that's where we use economic data to say, actually, yeah, if we look at steel, so much steel is used in construction, so much steel is used in the automotive sector. And then that's how we start to work all of these things out. So I want to quickly work through some of these, because the traditional approach is you take a minimum value for economic vulnerability and a minimum value for supply risk up there. And that means that if we looked at the 2021 assessment, tantalum and tin, they would be critical, but things like germanium and nickel would not. If we take a risk management approach and we think about that as consequence times likelihood, that'd be the same. All right, a high consequence, low probability is the same as a low consequence, high probability. So in risk management, that should really be treated the same. And that's our curves. All right. So if we go through and then finish the maths, actually, we think this is a much more appropriate way to really try and work out and discern what really is critical. Because ultimately, value here, the risk overall with nickel is about the same as tantalum and germanium. So that's really what we should be doing. And that's, I think, a much more appropriate approach. Now, Paul showed this, and there's always lots we could go through. We actually changed the scope. We moved from 26 elements in 2021 to 82 elements and minerals. Right, so we also included a range of industrial minerals. So you can see kaolin and clay there. And again, doesn't have much risk associated with it, because the UK is a very dominant exporter. So of course that's not critical for us, because we actually export it. So, and you can see, our threshold there, and that's subjective. That's a choice we make about the balance of where things go. So we can see iron here, we can see nickel, PGEs up there, palladium's just out, which is a bit odd, but that's just a function of the data. All right. So if we compare the different lists, we can look at the position of things like iron and nickel and copper. One of the concerns is that why isn't copper critical? We use copper in so much. It's in our grid, it's in our homes, it's in our phones, it's increasingly in our EVs, as Paul showed. And that's because copper is well supplied. Globally at the moment, copper is well supplied. And so it plots further down on our supply risk, and it has significant value, but it's below our threshold. Now, there are future concerns about the ability of copper to grow to meet the demands for net zero, but that's a future issue. And that's something that I suppose is not the way we do, we crunch all the numbers. We're looking at the period 2018 to 2022 here. But what's curious, if you look at the EU, the positioning is about the same for things like iron, nickel, copper. And again, because we're looking at it from a risk management point of view, iron, although it's very well supplied, actually is quite critical for the UK. All right, and so PGE is obviously UK very different to the EU. These are just looking at our criticality plot, looking at different technologies. So what materials make up different technologies? And we can see there's still many things that aren't listed as critical. We could look at molybdenum, for example, cadmium. We could pick on the periodic table. We still need them. They're still essential. They're still important. Various ways to look at it. And this is just some technologies, not all. One of the other things we've done, which we're just starting to release the version of these reports now, and the final versions will be released in coming days, is our foresight studies, looking at the next 25 years and a whole range of decarbonisation technologies. So all up the top, so a lot of renewable energy, electric vehicles, and so on as well. All right, we can see on the bottom here all the different elements, quite a wide array. Now, what we're trying to show here is the simple message here is the bigger the bubble, this is the total amount we need by 2050. So the bigger that bubble and the square is basically what we currently use. So in other words, how much expansion in supply do we really need? So the bigger that bubble, the more expansion. All right, so i.e. the smaller the bubble, the less of a risk it really is. Now, what we've done, and this is the work led by my colleagues at BGS, Dr. Petrovrazzi and others, is looked at the scenarios, national grid scenarios around energy, and you can see the different elements and how they track over time. And that's that evolution of technology. Now, when you take those results and you start to say, you know, like Paul was showing, let's look at the supply chains and let's look at the different stages. We can see the dominance of China, right? Whether we're looking at EV batteries or electrolyzers and so on. All right, and that's one of the grand challenges in the geopolitics we're going through at the moment is how to actually make sure we unpack all of that. So out of that, we've done, I suppose, the criticality assessment, the 24 assessment. We've looked at 82. Out of that, we've now listed 34. Many of them are relating to decarbonisation technology, but not just decarbonisation. Phosphates relating to agriculture. Iron's relating to all sorts of things. So, but again, lots of more work for us to do, and we'll leave it there. Thank you.